Today, we're going to look at this thought. To receive a miracle or a word from God, we must persevere in prayer. And I learned this years ago, and back during COVID when my mother was so sick with COVID. She was in her late 90s, and it didn't look good. And back then, it seemed like most of the older people that got it didn't make it. And I just made up my mind I was going to pray my mama through. And I did. I persevered in prayer until I felt like God had healed her. My brother took her back to the doctor, and the COVID was mysteriously gone. Amen. Perseverance in prayer. You see, Jesus gave us a key to successful prayer. Perseverance gets results. So do not ignore Jesus. When in doubt, go by Jesus Christ and not by these wonderful preachers that know everything. Can you say amen? Now, of course, I'm an exception. I'm a wonderful preacher that does know everything. You know I'm joking. In Luke chapter 11, verse 5, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him? Now, if it was important enough for him to tell a parable about it, don't you think it's probably important? He told this story to illustrate it because he wanted to make sure that people like me didn't miss it. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. He said, if I get up, I'm going to wake these kids, and it's going to be a nightmare, and I am not going to do it. Verse 8, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, he will not get up and give him something because he's his friend, but he will to get rid of him. I say to you, though he'll not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his perseverance, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Jesus is giving us a key to successful prayer. Persistence gets results. He said, well, if God wants to answer my prayer, won't he just go ahead and do it? Well, you and I don't get to set the rules. And even though we are not aware of it most of the time, we live in a spiritual warfare. When you start to pray, the devil does everything he can to shut you down, cause you to feel depressed and oppressed, and everything goes wrong. The devil's doing everything he can to stop you from praying, and that's why you got to persist in prayer. You got to pray through all the spiritual opposition of the enemy. And it's not God, but we live in this world of demons and devils, and we have to pray through. I know a big part of the Christian world does not believe in demons and devils. That's why they live in total failure and defeat their whole lives, because Jesus Christ gave them authority over demons and devils, and they don't even believe in demons and devils. Why would God give you authority over something that doesn't exist? When in doubt, turn your brain on. And if you don't believe in a devil, how do you explain all the evil all around us? I mean, wicked people do things animals wouldn't dream of doing. What is that? It's the work of the evil one. You see, Jesus has given us a key to successful prayer, and persistence is what gets results. Our attitude in prayer must be, I will not quit until I have an answer, until I have victory. And you can get it right here. It's called faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can pray that you know, that you know, that you know you're healed and you're delivered. Amen. Or whatever you're praying for. This is illustrated by Jacob, who was a rascal. How many know Jacob was we call him just a rascal. And he cheated his brother Esau out of his inheritance and his blessing. Well, Esau didn't like that. He exploded in anger and said, I'm going to kill you. So Jacob ran away to a foreign country where his uncle Laban was and lived with him for years. After he was married and had children, and became wealthy, he decided to go home. He knew that Esau could be a problem, but he wanted to go home, and so he loaded up all of his camels, and by now he had thousands of sheep and camels. I mean, he was very, very wealthy. He had these wives and children, and they were traveling, and as they traveled, he received word that Esau was coming to meet him with an army of 400 men. He said, "My brother's going to kill me and my kids and take all of my animals." Jacob was paralyzed with fear, but there was nothing he could do except pray. And I know for most of us, that's the last resort, but it should be the first thing. Because when you pray, God can give you wisdom and direction to handle that problem. And you can go into it knowing you've already won. And I see a problem coming at me, I don't wait till I'm in the middle of the storm. I pray it through until I get a peace about it, and I know I can walk right through it. Amen. And so Jacob prayed. With anything else he could do. In Genesis 32, verse 11, Jacob prays, "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him." You ever been in a place like that? Would you just cry out to God, "Deliver me, help me, make a way. Man, this is it. I'm going down. I need help. I need it now." That's the way he was praying. Jacob prays, "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him." In Genesis chapter 32, verse 24, so Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Well, who was the man? It's either Jesus Christ or one of his angels. And we know Jesus Christ has been around as long as God's been around. He's part of the Godhead. He took on flesh and lived among us, but he's still God. Amen. And he's 100% human that's in the Godhead right now, and he understands everything you go through. He's been through it. Well, nobody knows what I've been through. Have you been crucified yet? He knows what it's like to be crucified for somebody else's sins. So Genesis 32, verse 24. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak, verse 25. When the man saw that he could not overpower Jacob, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Verse 26, then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "Here it is. I will not let you go unless you bless me." You got to get into prayer and lock on to God and say, "I will not let you go until you bless me. Until I hear a word from heaven, until I know what to do and how to do it, till I know your hands on my kids and grandkids, I'm going to keep pressing in. I'm not getting out of here until I get an answer." Or until I got a no-so victory in my heart. So you can't tell me that doesn't work, because I work it all the time. Then the man said, "Let me go. It is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not." You say, "Well, how in the world could a man hang on to an angel?" That shows you the prayer that God has given to people who pray. He has such power in prayer, the angel couldn't get, or whoever it was, couldn't get free. But when we pray, it's the most powerful thing on earth. It's the most powerful thing we do. I'm just reading it to you. This is what happened. Could not overpower him. He touched the socket of Jacob's hip, and he wrenched his hip, and still Jacob would not let go. "I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not stop praying unless you bless me." Verse 27, the man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob." You're no longer going to be a rascal. Your very nature is going to be changed. And your new name represents that. But Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. Are you willing to do a little struggling in prayer to win? How important is winning to you? So why in the world you fast 40 days? This is the 18th time you lost your mind. Maybe, but not because of that. Amen. It works. Amen. Praying with fasting makes a big difference, but praying is the key. Fasting is the boost. We stay in persistent prayer until we overcome. You don't quit. And if it takes years, you take years. Yeah. Abraham stood in faith for Isaac for 25 years. Now, I'm not saying that your prayer is going to work that way over time, but there's sometimes you just got to keep praying over a long haul. But normally, if you really get a hold of God and press in, you may not have it, but you can have it in here. And Abraham had it in here. He was going to have Isaac. That's why he was able to stand for 25 years. But the point is, your answer may not come 15 seconds after you pray. You may get a revelation in here, a witness in here. It's a done deal that you got to stand and wait. Because it's a season of time for everything. We wait and pray and press in. You see, this must be our attitude. I will not let you go unless you bless me, unless you bless my home, unless you bless my church, unless you bless my wife, my husband, my kids, unless you bless America, I will not let you go. Jacob won the battle in prayer. When Esau finally showed up, all they did was hug each other. God answers prayer. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. When a lot of us are doing all this fasting, were you at least agreeing with us in prayer? Were you joining our struggle by praying along with us? Well, I can't fast, but you can pray. Amen. Did you join in our struggle? Well, I can't join in your struggle. This says you can. Why? Because we're all fighting spiritual battles. And when we come together in agreement, we can defeat the devil more easily and more quickly, I believe, sometimes. Can you say amen? We need to join each other in their struggle. You see somebody really struggling with family problems, health problems, issues. Instead of criticizing them and saying, well, they just had more faith. Don't ever say that around me because that... I can't tolerate that. You don't ever judge anybody else's faith. I'm not even sure sometimes about my own faith. I'm sure not going to judge yours. Amen. And if God does show me somebody needs to build their faith, I don't go around and announce it to the whole church. There are times people do need to get in the Word of God and build their faith. Amen. Me too. Every day. Just about rebuild it. You leak. Well, I did that yesterday. Well, if you're going to have faith, you're going to have to do it again today. Amen. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Yeah. People don't take shortcuts. If you can find a shortcut that works, go ahead. I haven't been able to find it. Yeah. Believe me, I've tried everything there is to try. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, he says, you know this guy, he's one of you. He's one of your church members. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured that you stand in prayer with the people in this church. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm. I pray that every one of you stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. We need to wrestle in prayer for each other, believing that God's going to keep us, bless us, favor us, and take us all the way in. Join in one another's struggles. If you think you're going to get through this life without some struggles, You got another thing coming, as my grandma used to say. In prayer, we struggle or wrestle against Satan's attack. And man, it can just come out of nowhere. Everything can be totally at peace, and all of a sudden the devil sets off a bomb, and your whole world flips upside down. Fear takes over. Depression takes over. You got to know how to fight out of that. You got to know how to fight out of that and win. And if that means calling some prayer partners, then you need to do this. Well, I don't have any prayer partners. Well, these dinners that John is cooking and other fellowships we do, get yourself over there and get and make some friends. Somebody say amen. And then you'll have prayer partners that stand with you and pray with you. I got several people in this church. I know if I call them, they're going to pray. And I call them, and then I know I can feel their prayers. If I don't feel their prayers, I call them up and say, what are you doing? You see, we can join in another person's struggle by praying to God for them. This is what a good pastor does. He prays for you. Well, what's he doing? If he's worth his salt, he's praying for you. And it changes things. Many of you have prayed for you and been healed instantly. Not bragging on me. Has nothing to do with me. It's Jesus Christ and the power of prayer. You need me and I need you. I need your prayers just as much more than you need mine. A good prayer partner will stick with you through thick and thin and not criticize your lack of faith. Jesus said that it is important to cry out to God day and night. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. You say, how's that possible? It is possible. Can you drive down the road with somebody in your front seat and talk to them as you drive? You can drive down the road with Jesus Christ sitting in your front seat and you can talk to him as you drive. Amen. And if you're going to drive in Knoxville traffic, I recommend you have Jesus sitting right there. Amen. Matthew 15:22, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him. Now, this is not a parable. This is what happened. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. I mean, you feel like you got a bunch of demon-possessed kids. I mean, I'd be demon-possessed, but they got problems. And kids today, I don't know how they don't have more problems than they do, the horrible environment they live in. And the harassing and all the stuff they take from social media. I mean, I'm glad I grew up in the 50s and 60s, man. Hey, and so they have it rough. You better know how to intercede for them and pray for them. My kids are getting older, but I got grandkids. And boy, I shudder to think about what kind of life they got ahead of them. And so I pray day and night for them. And there's not a day goes by I don't call their names. Amen. Most of the time, probably 3, 4, 5 times a day. Amen. And don't misunderstand, when you persist in prayer, you're not praying out of fear and doubt. Right. You're praying out of faith. Amen. You keep pressing in because, you know, man, I have a word here. If I keep pressing in, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. And you keep pressing in until you get it. And then you start thanking and praising God for it every day that it shows up. Yeah. This is a good word. Because it works. Jesus did not answer a word to this woman. She said, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word. And buddy, sometimes it just seems like when you really pour your heart out to God, he's not even there. And most of the time, it's the devil running interference to try to discourage you so you'll quit. But there are times, I think, when God wants to know if we're going to obey him and be persistent. I'm going to obey him and be persistent. How about you? Amen. Well, it's not working. Well, I'm going to work it anyway. Amen. Because I found out working it anyway works. Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. This woman has a shrill voice and she's driving us crazy. Would you just get rid of her? He ignored them. He didn't answer their prayer either. Yet, verse 24, he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Verse 25, the woman came and knelt before him. What is that? Persistence. Persistence. I think women prove to be better prayer warriors very often because they can be very persistent when it comes to prayer. Amen. A lot of churches are carried on the backs of the women, the praying women in the church. Because men have had a history of not really praying. Now this church has changed that. We had 24 yesterday in the men's prayer meeting. And man, we prayed for an hour. Amen. We pray for every one of your kids, grandkids. And pray for the whole world, the nation, okay? Supreme Court, everything you could think of, didn't we? Amen. And guess what? God's answering those prayers. Amen. We got a bunch of men here that know how to pray. If you want to be a part of that, you can. You can still get signed up for free. Amen. It's always free. But Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, get the Zoom information and Zoom in or show up. Verse 26, he replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. She said, well, even the dogs get the crumbs. And verse 27, yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. All I want is a little crumb. She wouldn't quit. Verse 28, then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. That's the reason a lot of times we quit, because we really don't have faith that God's going to answer. Something convinced her that she could get an answer. Yeah. She had seen him work some miracles. This woman wasn't even a Jew. Amen. By today's standard, she wasn't even a born-again Christian. Right. But she realized this was a man of God, and she would not shut up. Amen. Right here in the Word of God. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. That might be the reason we have such a hard time getting our kids and grandkids healed, because we quit, give up too quickly. Why did she receive a miracle? Perseverance. I know some people twist things around, say, well, what happened anyway? That is really heresy to take the Word of God and twist it like that. Amen. This is really truth, and it's written to be believed just like it is, and not for you to get some preacher to twist it for you. Right. She would not have received anything if she hadn't been persistent. Amen. That is the facts. And the reason I know it is because I work it all the time. It works. If I don't press in, I don't get it. I had a warning that Sabrina, before she was born, had some birth defect or some problems. And I did not get persistent in praying, prayed it through. Even though I'd done the same thing for her older sister, I did the same thing for her brother after her. But for some reason, I didn't take it serious and didn't pray it through. And she was born with a major heart condition. And then I had to pray it through. You can't tell me that persistent prayer doesn't work. I'm telling you, it works. And when you don't do it, you may pay a price you don't want to pay. But you're going to have to pray it through after if you don't pray it through before. So pray the thing through. Learn from my mistakes. That's why I tell you my mistakes. Is because you don't have to make them. Amen. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Why did she receive a miracle? Persistence in prayer. This story demonstrates the power of persistent prayer. In Luke 18, verse 1, notice what it says here at the beginning. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He gave them a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And People say, well, how do I pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be. God did give us that prayer pattern, but look at all these other things he taught. Look at this. He taught persistence in prayer. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up, not quit. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. I don't know what had happened. Maybe somebody stole her Social Security check, you know, or ripped off her house. And so she goes to this judge and said, Judge, get my house back. Get my check back. Give me justice. Verse 4, for some time he refused. He said, oh, woman, I got time to mess with you. Just go away. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though, you see, this is basically the same thing as the one where the neighbor went next door. He's hammering this thing of persistent prayer. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me. Jesus, this is the way you're supposed to pray. I will see that she gets justice. Now, when I preach on this, I emphasize justice, but Jesus Christ is emphasizing more than that. He's emphasizing the power of prayer because he says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up always. No matter what you face, pray the thing through and don't give up. That's the theme of this. And it even worked on judges. Might even work on lawyers. We got a couple of lawyers here, so we want to be nice. We might need their help. Thank you, Jesus. But anyway, for some time he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I see that she gets justice. Verse 6, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Listen to what the judge says. And will not God, verse 7, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Do you believe that? However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, Jesus says that it is important to cry to God day and night. Then he says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And that can be a little confusing, so I've studied it very thoroughly. There is a definite article in the Greek, here, that changes the meaning to this kind of faith. Will he find faith, this kind of faith, on the earth? Will he find this kind of faith? When the Lord returns, will he find faith in persistent prayer? That's what it means. Will he find this kind of faith? Faith in persistent prayer. Because that's what works. Nothing else works. Faith like this widow had, persistent faith. Faith that the Canaanite woman had. Faith, persistent faith, faith that believes God will answer persistent prayer. Jesus is teaching us not to quit, not to give up in prayer. Pray to win. Amen. Do everything you do to win. Do you have faith that persistent prayer works? If you do, then do it. Do it. Pray through until you know you got peace in your heart about it. I could go on forever because this is my heart. You see, we want to give good gifts to our children, and God wants to give good gifts to his children. Let's look at Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Who said that? Jesus. If he doesn't do that, he's a liar. And yet people all the time say, well, you don't know what God's going to do. I know exactly what he's going to do. He's going to do what this says. And if you don't believe that, then no wonder you're not getting your prayers answered. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. That's it. This book is it. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. You see, we have not because we ask not. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives. That's what Jesus says there in verse 8. And the Greek says exactly that. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door will be open. You see, this is a promise. Everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives. But you got to keep on asking. And now, you do have to line your prayers up with the will of God. There was some nut in Louisville years ago praying for somebody, a married man's wife. Well, God's not going to answer a prayer like that. That's sin and rebellion. Trying to take somebody's wife? I mean, when you line up the word with the Word of God, God will answer your prayer. Verse 9, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Who in the world is preaching this? Jesus Christ. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? How many know that even mafia bosses give their kids good things? He says, if you being evil, human, or carnal, and you love your kids and do good things for him, do you think your Heavenly Father will not do even more for you? Yeah, he'll do even more for you. We've been brainwashed by the devil to believe that God doesn't care about us. But he does. And you can see that in Jesus Christ, because he went about full of compassion and healing everybody that came to him to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy. Peter preached to Cornelius' household, said, you heard of Jesus Christ, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power, how he went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil. And he helped Peter catch fish. Can you say amen? Peter and John, he even told Peter, where a fish was that had money in his mouth. After 21 days he's praying and fasting, God sent a billionaire with money in his mouth. Okay. Well, it was in his checkbook, but we got it. $1.6 million. Can you say amen? And that's how the big part of the reason this is here. This part of the church. If you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Would you please answer that to yourself? Do you really think you're better parents than God? Do I think I'm a better parent than God? If we give good things to our children, how much more will God give good things to his children who ask? Much more. There is a condition, however. Ask and keep on asking. Do you get it right here? Keep asking in faith, in faith, in faith, not doubt and unbelief. Chase the doubt off. Devil, take your doubt and get out. I'm totally out of time, but let me read 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10 very quickly. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. Verse 12. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Verse 13. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. She had prayed all night. She was totally wore out. She could barely form her words. Eli thought she was drunk. Verse 14, and said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Verse 15, not so, my Lord. She got her voice back. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Verse 16, do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Verse 17, Eli answered, go in peace and may God, the God of Israel, grant you what you have asked of him. Eli spoke for God. He says, may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And God did grant it to her. She was praying for her son, Samuel. He was born, and one of the greatest miracles in the Bible, and he became the greatest judge and the greatest priest that Israel ever had. He had both positions. And he would not have been born except by persistent prayer. Well, it would have happened anyway. That's heresy. That's denying what the Bible says. And my Bible says you take anything out of the Word of God, you'll probably be taken out of heaven. You don't be messing with the Word of God. This woman changed history. And I'm telling you right now, I've changed history. People in this church have changed history. By praying and watching God work and move. Can you say amen? Let's all stand.